You know, one of the happiest guys out on the field right now, John, I just had a chance to talk for a moment with Jerry Terrell, who advanced scouted all year long,
been
prepared all of the detailed reports on the Braves in this series, and he's feeling awfully good right now.
Teddy, while you're lining up Ken Herbeck, I do see Jack Morris at first base right now. He'd been hoarded by a number of reporters. It would be great if you had an opportunity to talk to him.
We're going
to
try. Kent just decided he didn't want to deal with us right now, so we'll try our
best. I see him to get back out there.
I'm gonna put the microphone down while we try to get Jack, all right?
All right, very good. Mike Woodley, you with us down there?
He's going to run and find him, too. We'll double team him, all right?
All right, very good, and we'll continue with discussion up here. And, of course, we were talking with Roy Smalley and Herb Carneal. Any more questions for Roy at all or not?
Yeah, Roy, I was interested in what you said about Johnny Smoltz, because I was a little surprised, too. He threw a lot more breaking balls than I thought he was. Were you surprised when he came out of the game?
Well, I guess I have to be a little bit surprised. I thought he had just great stuff. I don't recall two pitchers locking up in a World Series game in a long time that looked as dominating as these two guys did. And so I was a little surprised. He was just phenomenal.
We're going to get Jack Morris, guys. I see Teddy and Mike both corralling him toward the microphone, and he should be there in just a brief moment. We're waiting at this time. Ted Robinson, Mike Woodley,
yes,
Jack Morris with him?
Yes, he is.
All right, go ahead.
All right, guys, thank you. Jack Morris has to be one of the greatest pitching performances in a World Series game ever. How do you feel?
Well, it was a great game. It was a great series, and it was just great to be a part of it. These fans here in Minnesota and the fans in Atlanta saw two teams that were so evenly matched. It's unfortunate somebody had to lose, but dang it, being from Minnesota and seeing what's going on here tonight, it's just great to be a part of.
What are the emotions right now? You took a victory lap. You just led the team in that. When you see these people respond, what's your reaction?
My reaction is, as a kid growing up here, I remember what it was like when the Twins were in the 65 series, and I remember what it was like when the Vikings were in four Super Bowls, and how much I bled and felt for them when they didn't win, I don't know, a part of me just said, Jack, there's no way you're going to lose, and I just didn't want to accept anything less than that.
How much of you did you leave out there last night, or tonight?
Well, I left what I had left in me. You know, I'm sure tomorrow I'm going to be a little stiff, but my mechanics have been great all year long, and that's why I'm able to get the kind of stuff I had tonight after 3 days' rest.
All right, I got to ask you about the eighth inning. That's one of the great escapes. That's a Houdini.
Well, it was. You know, I got in a little bit of a jam there, but I made a pitch to Pendleton, and he flied out to the left field, and then it was just a case of, was that the eighth inning? No?
Yeah.
Okay, I was in a couple jams, so I think then Tommy came out and asked me what I wanted, or he just told me we're gonna walk, was it Gant?
Justice.
Justice, yeah. We're going to walk Justice here and go after Bream. Hopefully we'll get a double play ball, and I went after him with fastballs. I tried to get ahead, and I did get ahead, and I figured if I could get my fork ball down, it would be a good chance for a ground ball, and that's what we're trying to do in a double play situation. Fortunately, it was right at somebody. Kenny made the play, and we got out of the jam.
Guys, why don't you go ahead from upstairs?
Hey, Jack, this is Herb Carneal. Congratulations to you, Hoss.
Thank you. Thank you, Herbie.
I wanted to ask you about that play on Terry Pendler. It looked like you had him struck out there before he got the double.
Well, I thought I did. The umpire said that he tipped the ball, and it was a foul ball, and he said the third base umpire called it, and I said to him, you know, it's amazing. I'm 60 feet away, and he's 110 feet away, and he saw it, and I didn't.
Well, that was a great job. I said it'd probably take a 20-mule team to get you out of there. Was that a good assessment?
Well, I don't know. I just had some left, and I'm fortunate that things worked out so well for us. I just felt real good tonight. My arm was alive. I had a good fastball, and usually when my fastball's alive, I have a couple pitches to go with it. So it was a great team effort.
All right, any words from Marvin Gaye as we wrap up here, Jack?
I don't know. Do you ever sing a song like Let's Party or something?
Well, Lionel Richie did that one, but why don't you go do that now?
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Jack. I'll tell you, Jack is being, we are pinned in a corner here. Guys are a couple heavyweights that have been surrounded. The media's gotten a hold of Jack right now. But I think you guys up there, Herb and Roy, you've got to say that's one of the all-time greats.
Well, it really was, and I really wanted just to have a chance to say to Jack, and I'll have to tell him some other time, it was just a real privilege to sit behind the plate in the stands and watch that performance. I thought he had great stuff, but even more so than that, I thought he had great heart, and I don't think I've ever seen anyone pitch tougher and tougher in tough situations than he did tonight.
Teddy, excuse me for just one second. I do see team owner Carl Polat on the field. Perhaps you
okay.
cannot, but if you could just grab him, I think it'd be great to have some words from Carl Polat, the owner of the Minnesota Twins.
All right.
What was just a fantastic win for the Twins tonight. They have beaten the Atlanta Braves in 7 games, 1-0. The final score, Gene Larkin's game-winning base hit with the bases loaded in the bottom half of the 10th inning, scoring Dan Gladden to give the Twins this victory here this evening, their second ever world championship. I didn't get a chance to hear anything from Bobby Cox or any of the Atlanta Braves. He was on just very briefly. I think really all he said was just a big salute to the Minnesota Twins and what was a very well-played series. And Roy, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but that was really some great managing on both sides here in this World Series.
I thought everything about the entire series was absolutely world-class. It really was. The managing was great. The playing was great. I was really surprised at how well both teams pitched. They just were dominating. And As I said, at the risk of being redundant, I think it was a real privilege to have a chance to watch these 7 games of baseball.
Teddy? Ted or Mike, are you there?
All right, we got the owner here. We have Mr. Polat. Come to us.
Go ahead, Mike. We're ready.
Oh, okay. Mr. Polat, your thoughts on this 1991 World Champion Twins?
Well, when you say my thoughts, I don't know whether I have any thoughts or not. Every once in a while, I pinch myself. Even the fact that I had the trophy actually in my hand, I still can't believe it and accept it. But on the other hand, it's just been a great, great experience to do it twice because... But really, what we're trying to do is to give some real entertainment for the fans in the Twin Cities and in the upper Midwest. We think we have the greatest fan support of any place in the country. And boy, I want to tell you, they make it happen.
I tell you what, could I slip this on your head so John and Herb could talk to you for a second? There you go.
Carl?
Now we have them all wired for sound, guys. And
good.
If you'd like to talk to Mr. Polat, you have the opportunity. Here he is.
Carl, Roy Smalley is also in the broadcast booth with us. He'd like to ask you a quick question.
Carl, congratulations. It's just wonderful for you. I'm really, really tickled for you and Eloise and all of the family and the management. And I'm wondering what it feels like compared to 1987. What did you think about... how did you feel before the 87 series and then after you won, and how did you feel before this one and after you won?
Well, in the 87 series, as you know, we lost 3 games out in St. Louis. We came back here and we managed to pull out a 4 out of 7, and it was a great, great feeling, although I will say this, you get kind of numb. I'm numb tonight, I can't believe it, even though I had the trophy in my hands. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful, thrilling feeling. But I'm more happy because I think we provided some great entertainment for our fans. Nothing takes the place of a winner, and we're glad to give them a winner.
Carl Herb Carneal up here in the booth. My congratulations to you. And I know that you felt this team could bounce back even though we finished last in 1990. You were confident this team could be a contender and maybe go all the way this year.
Well, as you know, we started building in 89, rebuilding. And we got into 90, and we made some changes during the 90 season, after the 90 season. And as you know, they obviously paid off.
Carl, this is John Gordon, your mother. Is she still here right now or not?
Yes, I think she's still upstairs. The last time I looked at her, when I saw that ball of Larkin's going out, she's standing up with the rosary in her hand saying the rosary. So that must have helped.
Well, congratulations to you and Eloise and your family and all the Minnesota Twins. This is a great team victory, and everybody contributed. Thanks for joining us, Carl.
One more question, if you will, Mr. Polat. I'm just curious to go back to the offseason and when your budget was in and Andy McPhail says, we got to get Jack Morris. Any thoughts on the conversation and the decision to finally say, we're going to find the money to bring him back to his hometown?
Oh, Andy is a very, very, I consider one of the most able guys. When Andy makes a recommendation, I usually listen, and so does Eloise. We listened this time. We went along with what he recommended, and as you know, it paid dividends.
As the one who is in the profession of banking, would you say that's one of the better investments in modern mankind?
That's one of the better, but as you also know, I've made a few bad ones. So.
Okay, guys, we'll send it back upstairs.
Okay, I think right now we do have an opportunity for a break. We can welcome the network. After this 2-minute break, we'll begin our segment one of the postgame show. There will be one extra 2-minute break. So right now, you're listening to the World world champion Minnesota Twins right here on WCCO. Back at the Metrodome, where the Minnesota Twins have won the world championship, they have defeated the Atlanta Braves in 7 games. The final score in 10 innings, 1-0. The winning hit coming from Gene Larkin as he pinch hit and drove in the game's only run. Dan Gladden scoring from third base with a drawn-in outfield. He placed the ball into left center field for the game-winning hit. Now some closing comments here from our guest analyst during the course of the World Series, Roy Smalley, with Herb Carneal.
All right, John Roy, you know, in 1987, when the Twins won all 4 games here to beat the Cardinals, 4-3, Frank Viola was the MVP. This year, the Twins won all 4 games at home, and another pitcher, Jack Morris, is the MVP, and justifiably so. But, you know, one striking contrast that comes to my mind, in 1987, when we won those 4 games here, we scored 33 runs in the 4 games, and this year we won all 4 games with 12 runs. So the pitching was a lot different.
Isn't that an amazing statistic, Herb? I didn't realize that, but it's really a tribute to the pitching on both clubs, and I think mainly a tribute to what the Twins have done in rebuilding this club based around pitching and defense to be able to hold the other club down like that, because Atlanta, believe me, that's about as well-pitched a series as you're ever going to see from anyone. They up and down the staff, they've got wonderful, wonderful pitching, and it took just a superb job on the part of the entire Twins staff to go ahead and eke out the World Series championship. Tremendously pitched series, and as we've been saying, that's what baseball's all about.
And the double play certainly came into prominence in this game tonight, didn't it?
It sure did.
Different kinds of double
for
plays.
For both clubs. And that's what you'll see in a one-run game, in a low-scoring game. You'll see missed opportunities. And I really was sitting in the stands thinking about, again, missed opportunities on both clubs. And you have to sit back then and say, and why are they missed opportunities? Because the pitching and defense on both clubs is so exceptional. They're truly... Both teams deserve to be world champions. Only one can, but the Atlanta Braves certainly have nothing to be down about. They acquitted themselves in major league proportion. I think they're a tremendous, tremendous representative of the National League.
Okay, here's John.
Roy, I'd like to just ask you one final question. I think you'd like to say that the momentum that the Twins had from winning Game 6 when Kirby hit that home run to win it for them by a final score of 4-3 in 11 innings had something to do with the Twins winning Game 7, but really it didn't, because this game here, Game 7, was separate from any of the other games. It had no parallel. It really had its own moments and its own game, and it ended up just being a 1-0 win for the Minnesota Twins.
Well, you're absolutely right, John. It was a game in and of itself. It was a series in and of itself. And the Braves played this team in this park better than I think any other team possibly could have done it. And the reason the Twins won was because it was here. I think my hat goes off to the Braves. But the World Series champions are the Minnesota Twins, and they certainly deserve it. They played outstanding baseball. They won the 4 games at home every way they can possibly figure out a way to win. And it's just great for this town and for this team. I'm really, really glad for it.
Well, I just want to clarify one thing about that play on Lonnie Smith when he was on first base and Pendleton got the ball in the gap. From where you were sitting, you could tell that the ball was slicing more back towards Dan Gladden. Up here, it looked like Lonnie Smith could have scored all the way, and of course, that could have been a winning run. But he probably then did the right thing. He certainly didn't want to be doubled up if the ball was caught.
He can't be doubled up in that situation. And, you know, I think the Atlanta players were surprised by the size of this ballpark. After coming out of Atlanta, where I noticed a lot of the players thought balls they hit here were going to be home runs,
right.
I think that they were really a little bit timid about just exactly what's going on out there in the outfield when the ball goes out there in the air. And I think Lonnie just had to be really, really cautious that Gladden didn't come up with a great play, and it cost him.
Good point.
Roy, thank you so much for your contribution during the home games of the World Series and the American League Championship Series. We offer kudos to you for your remarks and your insight, and we thank you very much, and we hope we have a chance to work with you again next year for American League Championship Series and World Series play with the Minnesota Twins.
John, it's been a world of fun for me. It's a privilege to work with you and Herb. You guys are great, and I just was glad to be a part of it.
Now, thanks, Roy. Roy Smalley joining us during our pregame and postgame programs and offering insight and expert analysis of the American League Championship Series and the World Series. We'll be back with the highlights package. We'll also have more interviews from the locker room. Ted Robinson is down in the Twins locker room right now, and we'll be lining up some guests. Mike Woodley will be hosting along with yours truly and Herb Carneal during the course of the rest of the evening and perhaps into the morning hours as the Minnesota Twins, for the second time in the history of the Twins franchise, are the world champions of baseball. They've defeated the Atlanta Braves 1-0 in 10 innings. Gene Larkin's game-winning hit in the bottom of the 10th, scoring Dan Gladden from third base. This is the World Series coverage with the Minnesota Twins, the world champions of baseball, right here on the Twins Radio Network.
Ruth Kozlak here, and I'm a big Twins fan. See, we already have a lot in common. Join me weekdays from noon to 3 here on WCCO Radio 830.
The Twins are the world champions of baseball. They beat the Braves 4-3 in the 7-game series. Mike Miller is our man in the street. Michael?
John Gordon, I am standing outside on 6th and Chicago, right across the street from Hubert's. You can hear this crowd going nuts. I'm looking up towards one of the parking ramps. There's hundreds of people up in the upper levels of the parking ramps staring down on this huge crowd. This is what we need.
One. Twins number one!
We got to get this chant going. We're number one! This crowd is going nuts. 10,000 people at least. If you're sitting in a car trying to get out by the Metrodome, forget it. Just keep it on CCO and enjoy the party. This is like spring break and Animal House all rolled into one. Back to you, John Gordon.
All right, thank you, Mike Miller. Down to the Twins clubhouse and Ted Robinson with Al Newman. Teddy?
Standing outside Al Newman. You should have seen the smile on his face when he heard those words, John.
Oh, it was awesome. It is awesome to be the champs again. For the second time in 5 years since I've been here, it's a beautiful thing. I told Nabla when they intentionally walked Herbeck, bases loaded, Gene Larkin comes up to hit. I told Navi, I said, I'll race you to first base because I knew it was over.
Who won?
I did, of course. I wasn't going to let him beat me there. I was going to pull a hamstring trying to get there first.
Can you? I mean, the ending is the same as 87, but the path to this was so different. Could you imagine a more incredible World Series?
I tell you, coming into this series, I knew both teams pretty much matched up really well because they had good pitching, and so did we. And it showed throughout this series, both sides, when they had to make a good pitch and get that double play or strike a guy out, both sides were able to go and get those hitters, and it's just amazing, amazing that we put on such a performance like we did.
Guys, why don't you go ahead?
Hey, Al, congratulations to you. John Gordon here, and that was just terrific. Al, from the get-go, even after the 2-9 start, this was such a tremendous team effort, 1-25. There really wasn't a great hero on this ball club.
No, you're right, John. From spring training, I mean, was started in spring training where we had some of the younger guys step forward. He had the veterans step forward. It was a total team effort, and that's how you win championships. You got to have the last guy on the bench performing well for you.
Congratulations to you, Al. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
His shirt's soaking wet. Yeah. Something's been going on in there. You won't tell me what.
Anybody want a hug?
Teddy, hey guys, the only way I could get him out here was I had to get one.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Let's go to the dugout and Mike Woodley. Okay. Mike, you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm here with the skipper, and you guys are too, Tom Kelly. And Tom's second time around. Any different? How you feel?
I'm more excited this time. There's no question about that. I feel really good about it. It's a special series, 7 games, just fabulous games, and we all know that. It's hard to describe just what goes through a player or the coaches or the manager or the fans for 7 games at this level. I thought the 4 games we played with Oakland August, I think it was outstanding series, but this is 7 games of just gut-wrench type baseball, and the Braves and the Twins have to be congratulated.
You got to tell us about the conversations with Jack Morris. Would you have to put him in an arm bar or something to pull him off the mound? He seemed like he was rather determined.
Probably a shotgun might have done it, but after 9 innings, I told him that was enough, that he's done more than his share, and he said, I'm fine. I said, that's enough, Jack. Somebody else got to pick you up. And he insisted he was fine. Dick Sutch came by and said, he looks fine. And I said, well, what the hell? It's just a game. Go ahead, Bill.
Herb Carneal and John Gordon are with us, TK.
Hi, TK. This is Herb up here. Congratulations.
Thanks, Herb.
To you and all. That's
I'm
great.
Real happy for you, too.
Oh,
thank you.
Everybody is talking about, you know, is it is good this time? Boy, I tell you, I don't know if I could stand many more games like this.
You're right.
Just terrific.
You're right. It's better this time. There's no question about it.
I don't see how, if you had a Hollywood script, you could have a series that could top this one.
Storybook, like we talked about last night in the press conferences, storybook-type series going on, and we're going to have to play out the seventh chapter, and the seventh chapter was probably the greatest one of them all.
TK, when you made out your lineup tonight, did you expect the guy that was driving the winning run was the guy who could hardly walk because he's had so much tendonitis in his knees?
Yeah. You never know. The way this series was going, you didn't know what was going to happen, and Again, that's the game of baseball, and I think some people thought there'd be a bunch of runs scored tonight, and I didn't think so. But I didn't think it would be 1-0. That's for sure.
Any final stuff upstairs, guys?
Yeah, Tom, John Gordon here.
Hi, John. Nice going.
Nice going for you too, TK. The only guy you had left on your bench was Junior Ortiz, mm-hmm. and there were so many opportunities and then letdowns during the game, not only for you but also for Bobby Cox. Just take us through a couple of those and what they were like.
The biggest thing we had to do, John, I know we did on our bench when things fell through for us, we really cheered, and I'm hoarse from it, and Dick Such is hoarse from it, and Crow. We kept on cheering and rooting for the guys and telling them, keep it going, come on, keep playing, and something good's going to happen for us. And that it was really hard to do. I'm not lying to you. It was really difficult to do because it was eating us all up inside. And
it really had to be. I mean, it was amazing.
It was, and we really had to keep going and keep pushing the boys, and things really – something good did happen for us.
Tommy, congratulations. Thanks for joining us.
Very good, John.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, Woods, we'll just keep you posted, or you keep us posted on what's going on. We'll have an opportunity to talk to some more of the Twins players. Ted Robinson, are you there? All right, we have nothing from Ted in the clubhouse right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the highlights package. We'll be back with more interviews and an opportunity to talk to some of the Twins players. They've won a World Championship, folks. They have beaten the Atlanta Braves. The final score, 1-0. This is the – all right. Sure, go ahead, Mike Woodley. You're down there. Great.
Andy McPhail's here, and I know, Andy, you want to get in there and talk to Tom Kelly and others and celebrate this thing, but just your thoughts again on, first of all, convincing Carl Pohlad to go out and get that certain guy named Jack Morris.
Well, that really wasn't that hard, Mike. Carl has never turned us down when we've told him that we think a player can really make a significant difference. Of course, we're somewhat judicious when we use those terms, but we did have a breakfast with Carl in the winter, Tom and myself, and sort of laid our case out before him, and Carl's always been very supportive. And more than just supplying the funds and wherewithal, I think Carl's helped us shape our strategy is how we're going to compete and when and how, and he's always provided us the resources when Tom and I felt that it really was going to make a significant difference. He's never turned us down, and Jack was no exception.
Andy, excuse me just 1 second. John Gordon along with Herb Carneal upstairs. Ted Robinson, are you there?
I am, John.
Okay, good. Yeah. We're with Andy McPhail right now.
Okay.
I just want to let you know that you can join in. Go ahead.
All right, and we've got Mike Paliarulo standing by here also.
You have a question for Andy, Ted?
Andy. What's the one thing that made you think push this team over the top? If you haven't been asked that already, I'm sorry.
No, Ted, that's first time. I don't know that you can point to one thing, Ted. As you know, the baseball season is a marathon of 162 games in you know, a six-month period. But I think probably the most significant piece, if I had to name one, would be Jack Morris. He gave us the stability, the innings, the leadership, and took the mantle of the number one starter that we felt needed to be done. He provided all those things, and I think he helped everybody settle into a position that was a little more comfortable and a little easier for them to succeed in.
Andy, Mike Paliarulo was hoping you were going to say he was the last piece.
Mike was a big piece. There's no question about it. I can't begin to say how much Mike has done for us over at third base, not just his great defense and the clutch hitting he got and the great average, but he really is a Minnesota Twin player, and I don't know of a higher compliment to give a player than that. They work hard, they play hard, they have a respect and a genuine enthusiasm for the game, and that's why Mike fit in so well with the Twins.
Before we go, we just have to bring up one other acquisition. Mr. Charles T. Davis has been a rather nice addition for your club this year.
Well, Chile is outstanding again. Another one that more than his 29 home runs and 93 RBIs was, again, his leadership, sort of the quiet intelligence he has. I think he helped some other hitters. I think his presence in the lineup, particularly being a switch hitter with power from both sides, was very important to us. And, you know, it's hard to it's hard to point to one guy. You got Knobloch that did a great job filling in for Scotty Leah, Scott Erickson, Shane Mack had great years, Tappany, Aguilera. It's a team. And that I think that's why we're doing these interviews now, that we are a team.
And to this Herb Cardinal in the booth, and congratulations to you. What a year, huh? And I know your dad's probably as happy as you are.
He's real proud, Herb, and I appreciate that coming from you very much.
Hey, that eighth inning, I want to say, listen, that's an ulcer breeder. What an eighth inning.
You know, I think there was one time where I was just saying, end this. You know, end this. I don't care how it ends. I can't take it. I thought I was going to have a stroke at the age of 38.
Hey, Andy, I have one quick question for you. You mentioned in the acceptance of the World Championship Trophy, not only the players, but also the scouts and the coaches and manager Tom Kelly and everyone else in the front office. And I think people should get a feeling from you that when you say it's a team effort, it's not just the 25 players, but it's a team of the Minnesota Twins organization.
Well, John, you said it better than I could, and that's exactly what I mean deep from my heart. You know, the job that Bob Gebhardt has done for us, Terry Ryan, Jim Rantz, Bill Smith, our scouts, our minor league managers, instructors, and make the recommendations that work with these kids that come up. You know, it really is a team in all regards.
Gene Larkin is assaulting Andy McPhail with a – actually, it's a real warm hug right now as he's being distracted for a moment.
Great job, Gino.
Way to go, Gino. Hey. We're back. Andy's here.
But I'm glad you mentioned that, John, because the truer words have never been felt on my part, and they really deserve a large share of this. You know, unfortunately, they tend to look at the general manager as being everybody in the front office, and, of course, that's silly, and there's so many people that are so important to us, so that I'd like to take 20 minutes and name them off individually.
Well, I know that it does come from your heart. Thanks, Andy, and congratulations to you.
Thank you, John.
Let's go to Ted Robinson, if we can, in the clubhouse with Mike Paliarulo. Teddy?
Great. Thank you, John. Mike has been standing by very patiently here. Tony Oliva has just gone by with a water pistol, letting everybody go. This was supposed to happen to you in New York, Bags. Did you ever dream of being Minnesota?
Well, when I was in New York, I didn't ever dream of being with anybody else. And then, you know, when I came here, there was such a great sense of tradition that I didn't doubt we could do this at all. I knew that we would compete. And, you know, you can talk a lot about new additions to the team, but when you get new guys coming to a team, if there's not already a good nucleus there, then the new guys aren't really going to fit in. And, you know, or it'll take a while for them to fit in. And, you know, there was just a good bunch of guys, a real nice sense of tradition here in this town, good support from the fans all year long. And, you know, it made it easy for myself, Chili, and Jack to just, you know, fit right in and do what we could do.
What's the one thing that separates this team from others that you've played on?
Hard work. No doubt. I mean, We work harder, I think, than any team in baseball, and that's why we won. And I'm so sick of guys saying, oh, well, why don't you take a day off, or you're working too hard or whatever, because that is such a bunch of baloney that, you know, you work hard, and this is what happens when you work hard. You become champions of the world.
Does the champagne taste better tonight than it did in Chicago or Toronto?
I never thought it would, but it certainly does. It's just unbelievable to think that we're the best team in the world. It's just... You know, it's unbelievable. And especially the series that we played. I mean, the Braves can't take anything away from those guys. This was an unbelievable series that was the greatest thing for baseball, I think, that I've ever seen. And today's game was the greatest game I've ever played in. The ups and the downs and the aggressiveness all series was just unbelievable. And, you know, it's just, you know, both teams should be congratulated, but, you know, we're lucky to come out on top, and, you know, we deserve to be the champs.
Guys, Pags can hear you if you want to offer anything.
Well, Pags, hi. This is Herb Cardinal up in the booth. Congratulations to you, pal, and to all the guys.
Thanks, Herb.
A great job. And just wanted to ask you a little bit about Johnny Smoltz. You had a great game against him down there. Of course, hit a home run and had two other hits. You hit one ball real good off him tonight. But did he adjust a lot and pitch a little different than he did in Atlanta?
I think he threw more breaking balls tonight. You know, especially to me, I thought I had one ball I think it was the second inning down the line, but Bream was playing me right there, and then the ball I hit in the gap, I thought for sure it was a double, and Gant ran it down. So, you know, he pitched really tough, and, you know, I really wanted a chance to hit off of Pena, but they intentionally walked me and pitched to Sereno. So, you know, Smoltz did a great job, just like Jack did, but Jack, he was just an animal out there. He went to another level tonight, you know, and he just he wanted the ball, he wanted it, and he went right after those guys. It was an unbelievable job that Jack did.
Pags, John Gordon up in the booth. Talk a little bit about Tom Kelly, if you will, because you came over, and I know, of course, you talked about the work ethic. I don't think there's a harder worker on this ball club. I can remember in spring training, every time I looked around, you were in a different batting cage with Terry Crowley working on some sort of hitting technique to improve your hitting, and, of course, it paid off for you. But Tom Kelly really believed in you, Mike Paliarulo, and I know you're grateful for that.
Yeah, I certainly am. You know, sometimes you run into people and managers that say that, you work too hard or other, you know, this other stuff that they say because they have nothing else to say, you know. But TK was, he was encouraging the work ethic and it worked. We went out there and we worked to improve ourselves as a team, and we changed a little bit of our hitting style to fit in to the team aspect, and everything worked because we were allowed to work as hard as we could, and he encouraged that. He was out there with us working.
Mike, congratulations to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank
Good.
You, Pags.
We're going into break four, folks, and before we do, we're going to take an identification break. We're pausing for local station identification here on the Twins Radio Network.
Your World Series station, this is WCCO, Minneapolis-St. Paul at 830. In the Twin Cities, we have drizzle, 47 degrees. CCO time is now 7 minutes after midnight.
Here at the Metrodome, John Gordon along with Herb Carneal, Mike Woodley, Ted Robinson, Mike Miller is also with us. We're bringing you World Championship coverage of the World Champion Minnesota Twins. They defeated the Atlanta Braves tonight, 1-0 in 10 innings. G. Larkin's game-winning hit in the bottom of the 10th, scoring Dan Gladden. We're going to take break two at this moment, break two, and we'll be back with more interviews from the clubhouse and the dugout on the Twins World Series postgame show.